Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the folly of idols as we pick up in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 18. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
David the psalmist speaks of, again, the folly of idols. He said, "The work of the heathen is vain, for they take a stick out of the forest, and they carve it, and they make an image likened to themselves." And he says, "But though they put eyes on the little god, the eyes can't see. Though they put ears on the little god, the ears can't hear. Though they put feet on it, they can't walk. Though he puts a mouth, it can't speak." And then he makes a very interesting observation, and he said, "They that have made them have become like unto the gods that they have made." You see, the first observation is that men have to have a god, and many men make their own gods. But when a man makes a god, he makes his god like himself. The anthropomorphic concepts. Because I have eyes, I put eyes on my little god. Because I have ears, I carve ears on my little god. Because I have a nose, I carve a nose on my little god. Because I have feet, I carve a feet. Because I don't have any hair, I leave him bald. But though I may take great care in carving out the eyes on my little god, those eyes never do see anything. Though I carve a mouth on my little god, the mouth can't speak. Though I may carve feet on him, it can't walk. It's a dumb little idol. But, tragically, a man becomes like his god. And if your god is a dumb, stupid little idol, you are becoming like your god. Insensate. Where soon you no longer hear the voice of God, you no longer see the glory of God, you no longer feel the presence of God. You've become like your gods, insensate to God. A man becomes like his God. That can be a glorious blessing or a horrible curse. It all depends on who your God is. A man becomes like his God. And we, with open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory to glory, even into the same image by the power of his Spirit within us. Hey, I'm becoming like my God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we know when he appears, we're going to be like him. For we will see him as he is. You see, you have two things. You have one, a man making his God less than himself and becoming like his God. That's why idolatry is always a debasing, degrading experience. You're going down anytime you get involved in idolatry. It's a step down. Because if an idol is your God, you're becoming like your God, but your God is actually less than you. Because you have eyes and can see, you have ears can hear, you have a mouth and you can talk. So your God is less than you, but you're becoming like your God. So it is a degrading experience always, downward experience to worship idols. But to worship the true and the living God, you see, God is making man now. Back again into his image, into his likeness. God is restoring that which was lost through the fall. Through the power of his Spirit within us, he is bringing us back into the image of God. When God made man, he made him in the image of God. When man fell through sin, he came from that image of God. He went down. Now God is remolding and reshaping you back into the image of God, back into God's first intent and purpose. God's purposes are being restored in the lives of his people. But he speaks of the folly of these who make these dumb little idols. "Woe unto him that says to the wood, awake! Wake up, little god! Talk to me!" "Who says to the dumb stone, arise, teach me! Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, but there's no breath at all. It can't breathe. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Contrasted with the gods of stone, overlaid with gold or wood, overlaid with silver or gold. They can't speak, they can't breathe, but the living God is in his holy temple. Now in chapter 3, it is a psalm. It is a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. Now, about the seventh psalm or so, I think it is, was upon the Shigionoth, which is the same thing, and it is with loud crying. So this is to be read with loud crying. I'm not going to try it, but this is the prayer of Habakkuk, no doubt prayed with loud crying, a lamentation, sort of like Jeremiah. He said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Lord, I've heard what you told me you're going to do, and it's frightened me. You've told me you're going to use the Babylonians as your whip, as your instrument to thresh your people, but God, that frightens me. But, O Lord, revive thy work. The word revive literally means keep alive thy work. In the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years, make known. And in wrath, remember mercy. Basically, the prophet saying, God, I cried unto you and told you my complaint that you weren't doing anything, and you told me you were doing something, and I don't understand what you're doing, but Lord, just keep doing it. I'm fearful for what I heard, but Lord, keep doing it. Keep working. Lord, keep alive thy work, but don't forget to be merciful. In the midst of the years and in your wrath, remember mercy. Now he describes how that God came from Teman. That is from the area of the Edomites. The Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens. Now he's going into a glorious prophetic description of the coming again of Jesus Christ. And as he comes, he'll be coming from the area of south and east from Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives. As lightning shineth out of the east and to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Isaiah said, who is this who comes with his robes dyed red and from Bozrah with the robes that are, you know, dipped in blood and so forth? And so coming, the brightness was as the light. His glory, first of all, covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. Oh, I can hardly wait. His brightness was as the light, and he had horns, of course, coming out of his hands, or radiations coming out of his hands. Have you ever seen on a sunrise behind the clouds where the sun radiates on up above? And this is the same idea in the Hebrew, the radiations coming forth, the brightness of the light, and out of his hands, these radiations. And there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, that is the great tribulation that will precede his coming, and the burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered, and the perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. Read in the book of Revelation of the great cataclysmic judgment and the changes that are coming upon the earth during the great tribulation period prior to the return of Jesus Christ, where every mountain and every island will flee. The ocean beds will be changed. Tremendous cataclysmic changes are going to take place upon the surface of the earth
prior to the return of the Lord in the great judgment of God. I saw the tents of Cushan, that would be Ethiopia, in affliction. And the curtains of the land of Midian, that would be Saudi Arabia, did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thy horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation, and at the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Indignation is a word in the Old Testament that is commonly used for the period of the great tribulation of the New Testament. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Who did he thresh? The church? His children? His people? No, that's inconsistent with God. The great judgment is directed against the heathen, not against God's people. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. You see, indignation and his wrath upon the heathen, but for his people, salvation, that is deliverance. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as the whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses and through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. The great day of the wrath of the Almighty God, as he with indignation smites the heathen, and is described here by Habakkuk. But then in the midst of all of this, the great desolation that will take place as the result of God's judgment coming upon the earth, the prophet declares, because he is a man of faith, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meal, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. We are told that during the period of the great tribulation, that there is going to be a severe famine throughout the earth. You talk about inflation. A measure of wheat, about a quart of wheat, will be sold for a day's wages. Now, you that are putting your money in gold and silver, the Bible warns you against that. So if you bought in gold at $8.50 and you're weeping and howling, just know that James said, go to now, ye rich, weep and howl for the miseries that have come upon you, for you've laid up your treasures for the last days, but your gold and silver is cankered. It's, you know, you can't eat it. Hey, put, you know, if you want to invest and be the richest man in the tribulation, put your money in wheat, futures in wheat. You can be the richest man in the tribulation, if riches are your desire. Better to just put your trust in Jesus and lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Escape the great tribulation. But there will be a time of tremendous famine that is coming upon the earth. Can you imagine what will be done to the agriculture of the earth if we say have a major nuclear war. With all of the fallout, it would so poison all of the crops, all of the food, as to make them inedible. Even the milk, because the cows eating the grass and the grains and so forth would be getting the strontium 90. And those that were dissolved in the heat of the epicenter would be much better off than those who survived the initial blast, only to starve to death later or to be killed as someone is trying to take away the food that they've stored 50 feet underground to keep it from being radiated. Oh, I'll tell you, the scenario of the aftermath of an atomic war would be so horrible. I pray that God will have mercy upon me and let one of those bombs go off directly overhead if there is to be such a confrontation by and among men. I don't understand the mentality that is trying to survive an atomic holocaust. I have no desire to desert. If man gets that far, I have no desire to survive it. I'm too old. Now, prophet has been talking about this great day of God's indignation, judgment. And although the fig tree shall not blossom, no fruit in the vines, no olives on the olive trees, no grain fields, no flocks, no herds, yet, in spite of all of this, I will rejoice in the Lord. The word rejoice in the Hebrew is literally leap for joy. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And that word joy is a Hebrew word gil, which is to spin around under the influence of a great emotion such as joy. I'll jump for joy in the Lord. I'll spin around in the God of my salvation. Not jump for joy because of the famine, because of the desolation. There is again something wrong with the teaching that you're supposed to thank God for everything. You can thank God in everything, but you can't thank Him for everything. And there's a vast difference. I many times weep over this situation, though I still joy in the Lord. It's only as I keep the right perspective and keep my eyes upon the Lord and realize His eternal plan and program that I can rejoice. As I look around at the world, I weep. But when I look at God's eternal plan and realize it's not going to be long, I rejoice. I jump for joy. I spin around when I think of the Lord coming again and the glory of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covering the earth as the waters cover the earth. Oh, I can spin around and rejoice in that. Though I have a very difficult time dealing with the current social issues of our day, with any kind of joy or gladness or happiness. The Lord God is my strength. Oh, what a glorious declaration to be able to make. God is my strength. I feel sorry for those people who are trusting in their own strength, in their own abilities, because always, always your strength is limited and has its point of limitation. Where you've expended your strength to its fullest extent, then what? But when the Lord is my strength, there's no end. How glorious. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, like the deer's feet, like the goat's, and make me to walk upon mine high places. And then he addresses this psalm to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And so it was set out in Hebrew poem form and was to be sung with a cry using the stringed instruments as a background. But yet one of the most glorious declarations of the coming again of the Lord that we find in the Old Testament. Of course, in the New Testament, unfolded even in a greater measure. But from the Old Testament, one of the most beautiful passages speaking of the glorious coming of God in power to rule the earth.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Zephaniah on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Habakkuk 2-3 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord give you a wonderful week. May his hand just rest upon your life in a very special way. And may your faith in God be increased. May the Lord help you. As with those men of faith, to endure. Because you can see actually what others cannot see. That eternal plan and purpose of God. And may God bring you into harmony with his purposes for your life as you walk with him this week. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today is pleased to present a timely book entitled Philippians, a Bible study for women by Kay Smith, wife of Pastor Chuck. In times of hardship and doubt, are you filled with joy? If this less than perfect world has robbed you of joy and filled you instead with fear and worry, you must learn the secrets found in the book of Philippians. Join Kay as she discovers the Apostle Paul's top secrets to a life filled with joy, available to every Christian woman today.
Sometimes in the deepest trials, God will so minister to us, or the Holy Spirit will so minister to us, that even in the deepest trials, we can have joy. And that's what we're trying to impress on the people's heart. We have joy just because we have Jesus.
For more information on how to order your copy, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call toll-free at 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-9673.
And godliness with contentment is great gain.